Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're going from Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves two treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For whatever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body, so that if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
We have like a lot of visitors this morning, so I'm going to take 1 minute, just 1 minute, because I know that it turned into three. And if I say three, it'll turn into 12, and then we won't even be up here this afternoon. So let's take 1 minute to greet a visitor or greet your brother and sister in Christ. Take that moment. Also, get to meet my Uber driver. He was cool. His name was Philip. Back left.
He was cool.
Order in the court. Order in the court. Sit down. God is good to us. Let's join back.
God is good. God is good. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? A little bit.
We got you. Got you.
If y'all don't sit down.
What are you going to do? Tell my mom on me?
Something like that, maybe. Good morning. We are glad that you are here this morning. Oh, I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait. Age before beauty, you know what I'm saying? Age before beauty. Respect my elders, you know? All right. We've settled down. We've settled down. You are welcome. We are glad to be here this morning. Life is good and God is great. Amen.
Amen.
And if you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if he's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
Life is lovely. Life is lovely. There are many things we must resist in our Christian walk, and prayer is definitely not one of them. So the question becomes, what is prayer? You know, like, what is it? And prayer is definitely an avenue in which God's people can communicate with Him, not because of anything we've done in past times to deserve this privilege, but because God is master communicator, and He loves communicating with His people. He absolutely loves it. And when we look into the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, there's three specific areas that God wants us to be praying about. And one, the first one is the giving. He wants us to be praying about our giving. The second is He wants us to be praying about our praying in our everyday life and what we're going to be doing in our moment-to-moment dealings with others and other individuals. And then the third area He wants us to look at and look in ourselves and be attentive and check ourselves. And He wants us to look at our overall relationship with Him. And those are the things He wants us to pray about. And He wants us to be praying about those things because God knows what we pray about is what we're all about. God knows what we pray about is what we're all about. And that's major because it is true. The things that we are going to be praying about, the things that we are going to be pursuing are the things we should be praying about. So God is definitely that. And I want us to be thinking about that concept and reality as we go through the text this morning of Matthew chapter 6. What you pray about is what you're all about. And that first one we're going to get into is that giving. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men." And I think that's interesting because he says, be careful, beware of how you practice your righteousness. Why do I have to beware of how I practice my righteousness? I mean, righteousness is a good thing. We should definitely be good. But then look at the next verse, or look at that same verse. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men." Why? To be noticed by them. We like to be noticed, apparently, and that's why he's writing in the Scriptures. We like to be noticed at times. And then if go on further in that verse, he says, "Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." So beware of practicing your righteousness so you're not noticed by men. Otherwise, you do not have a reward with your Father who's in heaven. Verse 2 says, "So when you do give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they are honored by men." And that's the issue right there. That's the issue. He says, I want you to pray about your giving so that you can be a good giver and give anonymously. Anonymous is the best form of giving. And he wants us to be that. And he wants us to give in regard not to receive honor from men. But so the question becomes, why? Why do we need to pray about our giving, Lord? Why? Go to 2 Peter with me, if you don't mind. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. It says, "Seeing that his divine power," God's divine power, "has given us," he's giving us, "everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." Why? "For by these things he has given to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you and I may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts." So he does all those things for us. He's given those things. But why has he given those to us? Why? So we can have everything pertaining to life and godliness and to the promises. And then he says, verse 8, he says, "For this reason, for in these qualities that are yours, if they are increasing, you will never be rendered as useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blindsided or short-sighted, having forgotten his purifications from his former sins." So why? Why do I have to focus on how I give and what I give and in the way I give? He says, one, so you're not noticed by men. Second is so that you are not honored by men. He didn't give us these excellent, godly, and divine qualities so that we would be honored by men. He gave it to us so that we would never be rendered useless in the true knowledge of God. So he's given us power, he's given us wisdom, understanding, and he's given us all these things so that we are not useless as his people in Christ. He doesn't want us to be useless, but he also doesn't want us to be honored by men in such a way that puffs us up. Because if we do, if we accept that honor by men in the way we do things, he says, "Truly I say to you, you have your reward in full." And that's it, and that's that. But then go on to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. This is kind of a beautiful passage that kind of touches on that, why he's given us these gifts.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate or able in ourselves to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has made us adequate and able to as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Life again. Somebody said lice. The Spirit doesn't give us lice. We're okay, guys. We're going to be okay. But the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life, and that's why He's giving us that life, so that we are never to be useless in the work in the kingdom of God. So the things of what you pray about is what you are going to be about. The things you pray about are what you're about. Verse 3 of chapter 6, he says, but when you do give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why? So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, then he will reward you. That's major. That's major. We're going to touch back on that a little bit later. And then he says all those things. He says, why? Because what you pray about is what you're all about. But not only is that about the giving, but also about our praying. He says, verse 5, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners. Why? Again, I see it repeating again. Why? So that they may be seen by men. And we don't think that's too far off, because some of us, and myself included, we love being honored by men. Amen? At times? Here y'all go again. Every week we got to go through this. Why do we got to go through this every week? Why do we got to go through this every week? You know what's beautiful about our, discrepancies? The beauty about our discrepancies and our shortcomings is that God is glorified in all great things. Because in my weakness and in your weakness, God is definitely glorified. So the less I am, the more He is glorified. But then it says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. He says, truly I say to you that they have the reward in full. But when you pray, you go into your inner room, talking about that heart. He says, I want you to go into the recesses and in the deep parts of your heart, and I want you to find something there. He says, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret then will reward you. Again, we'll get back to that. Verse 7 says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard by men, they will be heard by their many words. So then he goes on into this dissertation and explains how we should be praying, and this is how we should be praying, he says. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition like as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard by their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So what's the point of prayer? Why do I pray if God already knows what I want? I might as well just live my day and not waste my time with prayer. Amen? Okay, I was just testing some of y'all. I got scared for a second. I was like, oh man. Yeah, it was a trick question. It was. So why pray if He already knows what we want? Because this is a reminder of who we are and whose we are. And this keeps us attentive to the Father providing for us. So the Father's always given us provision on our behalf. And He wants to. This is a reminder for us to know who we are and what He's done for us. How many of us in here have gone through life all by ourselves and provided for ourselves and no need of anybody else? There's not one person in here. However, he says, I'm asking you to pray about your praying in your prayer life. He wants us to be mindful of our prayers. Sometimes he may even say we need to journal our prayers so that we know what God has done in our lives, so that we don't forget as a reminder. Because specific prayers receive specific answers. When we pray about specific things, you can see God working, because He definitely works in the details of His people. He definitely works in the details of His people, and He wants us to know who He is. But then He goes on and says, pray then in this way. He says, our Father who is in heaven. right there, that phrase, our Father who is in heaven, he wants us to recognize we have a Father who has been providing for us all along. We have a Father who has been providing for us, not of ourselves or originating within ourselves, but from God. So we look to and receive from our Father. This is acknowledging Him as our provider for all things that we need. And if you actually go through the whole Sermon on the Mount, He uses our Father who is in heaven over 17 times. He wants us to know who is providing for us. And He wants us to understand that. Then the next phrase, He says, hallowed be your name, God. He wants us to, as God's people, He wants us to set Him apart from anything known to man. He wants us to set Him apart. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your church, your kingdom, your people come, your will be done in obedience. Again, we are receiving everything, and He's providing for us in His kingdom, and He's given us our daily bread, day in and day out. Verse 12, He goes on and says, and forgive us of our debts as we also forgiven our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is a direct relationship with God. If we can't forgive others, He's saying, then how am I going to forgive you? So that keeps us honest in this relationship with God. So when I'm forgiving others, I'm expecting God to forgive me. But not only that, way before that, God has definitely made provisions. He's given me my daily bread. He's given me his kingdom. Everything. He's provided for us in every way. Look at our families. Are we blessed? We're blessed. We have families. We have friends. Loved ones. We even have enemies to keep us humble. But again, we even pray for our enemies because that keeps us pure. And what does He say in Matthew 5? He says, the pure in heart shall see God. So we have to be pure in heart before we ever can believe or think we can see God. You got to be pure in heart. And if we're not that, then tumultuous times. So He says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you of your transgressions. So again, He wants us to live free. He wants us to be free of that guilt, that vengeance. He wants us to be free and understand who He is, and we are reminded because prayer, through prayer, requires action. There's no such thing as prayer and it just happens. Prayer definitely requires action. So what you pray about is what you're all about. Then He goes on into verse 16 and He talks about wealth and fasting. And I think this is really interesting how He puts these two together. He wants us to pray about the wealth, or He wants us to pray about this overall relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. He talks about this wealth, and wealth is an abundance of valuable possessions or money. That's what wealth is, an abundance of money, abundance of possessions that are valuable. Make sense? Yes, it's not that deep, Quentin. It makes sense, right? Get it. But then He also goes into this fasting, and it's a part. This fasting is a part of this discipline and this self-control. It's a way of expressing reliance on God. It's also a way that we can show sorrow or repentance or acknowledging a failure, and we are seeking God's mercy. That's one of the ways they used fasting, is to get closer to God by not relying on certain substances or relying on other influences, but relying solely on God. Relying on God. And God wants us to look at these two, and He wants us to make a decision permanently. So we have wealth on one hand, our possessions, our money, the things that we hold at value. And then He goes on the other hand and has some things over here. He says, this is our relationship. And then He goes on and says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. Again, that phrase. When they are fasting, truly I say to you that their reward is in full. But When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father. Where is he again? Your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then he goes on and says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he gets into this examination, this self-examination that I really, it intimidates me at times because I know my heart. And when I'm being truly honest with myself, I know my heart. I know the things that I chase and I know the things I love. And he's asking every one of us in this room to really be honest with looking into your own heart and looking what's there and looking at the things you hold at value. Look at the way your mind works and the way you receive God and the way you understand God and the way you love him and the way you set him apart. Just talked about that in our praying. The way we set God apart from all other possessions or wealth that we may attain in this world, in this life. I want you to follow along in verse 22, chapter 6 of Matthew. I want you to really focus on the words he's using, because this is really intense if we're being honest with ourselves. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? How great is that darkness? And he's asking us, he says, how great is that darkness? Well, if your light is good and you're praying about the giving and you're giving, you don't need that honor and you don't need to receive the honor of men. You don't have to have though that arrogance, and you don't have to be praying just so people can hear your lovely words that you have to say, and you're not trying to be elevated by men. He says, then your dealings in life with different individuals, he's letting us know, he wants us to know, look at your life. I can't look at your life for you, but look at your life and the way you go about your days, your relationships, the way you seek out God. Think about those things. Do we truly have pure motives? Or are there times where we are corrupt and we see greedy and we see filth and we try to take advantage and we lie, we have unjust gain. Maybe we have a judgmental mind. Maybe we lie. Maybe we love to rob other people of their joy. Think of those things. He says that the light that is in you is darkness, which means it's been replaced. Then your whole body's darkness. And then at that point, we have to understand that at that point, you have to understand how deep, the question that becomes now is, how deep is that darkness? How deep is that darkness? Have we forgotten about God? Because it's only a matter of time. If you stop trusting God, you will stop believing God. It's just a matter of time. You can say, I love God, I believe in God, but what are our actions saying? What is our faith really saying? What is our belief really saying and showing? When no one's watching, that's scary. When no one is watching and when no one's around you, what's your mind on? When your wife leaves for a week, few days, what are you thinking about? When you're by yourself, what are you thinking about? Where's your mind? And I think it's major, and that's what he's saying. He says, what you pray about is what you're all about. And if you're praying in a situation of your relationship with God, then that requires action and obedience. And then go back to look at all these things that he says in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4. He says, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done, where? In secret. Then he'll reward you. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your heart. He says, go into your inner room. Close your door and pray to your Father. Where? In secret. And your Father, sees when he sees what is done in secret, then he will reward you. Verse 18, so that your fasting will be not be noticed by men, but your father who is in secret, and your father who sees what is done in secret will then reward you.
What he's saying is a faith that is lived out before man, that's good. A faith that you live out before men, in front of men and women, that's good. But a faith that is lived out, even in secret and in the privacy and the recesses of your heart when no one's watching, that's impressive to God. So he wants to ask, he's asking you, what is your giving like? I actually would challenge anybody in here. Take $100, take an amount, make a sacrifice with, say, money. Put it in an envelope, mail it to somebody, give it to somebody. And receive, no, give it to somebody in this room. And let them not know where it came from. For some, it's going to be hard. You know, hey, did you receive $100 the other day? Oh, no, I don't know who did it. Can we really give? Because he didn't give so that we could be honored by men. He didn't give so that we can just receive a reward right here in full. Because if this is it, if this is all we're receiving here on earth, ugh, that stinks. Amen? If this is it, then I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian if this life is it. But he says there is something. He's given us hope. He says, let me use
scripture. I don't want to use my words because my words will sink ships. Okay, so, yeah. Amen? They will. So we got to go to that scripture. So then he goes on, verse 24, says, no one can, actually, he goes on, verse 19, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Don't accumulate all these material possessions and this material wealth. Don't do that. He says, verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, that hope, that faith, that love. He says, but store up and have treasures in heaven where no one can steal. And you're in the presence of God. He says, what is eternal life? He says, knowing God. In the true living God, knowing Jesus the Christ. And then he says, you can't serve wealth and your possessions and all these things that really aren't things. He says, you can't do that and serve the other one as well, because you're going to either hate one, you're either going to hate God and love your possessions, or you're going to love your, you know, you get what I'm saying. I'm almost. And what he's really saying is this. If you love your possessions so much, eventually, it's only a matter of time where God will not be, God will be a part of your life. If you love your possessions and your things, God will be a part of your life. He will definitely be a part of your life. But God does not want to just be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. And if when we truly believe and understand that when we put our faith and our spiritual well-being in God, all the other things we will have, and they will only be a means of providing and serving and helping others. Amen? Amen. That's why he hasn't allowed me to hit the lottery and have millions and millions of dollars, because he knows what I would do with it. Is that fair? He knows what I would do with it. So he's blessed me in different ways so that I can serve others. And same way with us in here. He's blessed us in ways so we can serve others so that we don't receive honor of men. It's not about that. And some of us are thinking, I don't have that problem. Well, some of us do, because he had to write in the scriptures to let us know and beware of these things. And no, and I always say this, no one is the exception to the rule. No one. So the beauty about this is we can have everything in Christ Jesus. To have Christ is to have everything. To lose Christ is to lose everything. So he's given us a choice, and he's given us this, he wants us to evaluate. If your eye is light, that's good. Keep that maintenance up, and you remain in that light so your body can be full of light. But if you have a little bit of dim, if there's dimness in your eyes, then we have to work on that. And we have to be honest with ourselves so that we can be full of light, because we are children of the day, not children of the night. God so loved the world, he gave his only son so that we could have treasures in heaven ready to be revealed to us. And God is the gift. He is the gift. So I want to close with this. This is where Doug was at this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to go there and look at these words. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the scriptures. Chapter 4, I'm getting there, Kurt. Verse 9. I got you, Kurt. He says, but resist him firm. Verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9 in 1 Peter. I make things so confusing. Verse 9 says, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself do these things for you. He will perfect, he will confirm, he will strengthen, and he will establish you. And we all want those things. And it says, to him be dominion forever and ever. What you pray about is what you're all about. And he wants us to focus on every part of our lives. Our giving, because we are servants of the Most High. So we got to focus on our giving and the way we're giving. We have to focus on our communication with God and the way we pray and what we pray for in our daily dealings. And then also he wants us to pray for our overall relationship with him. Choosing God over all possessions. We are servants of the Most High. And he has given us beautiful. He's given us establishment, confirmation that we have everything that we need. So if we haven't been doing that, come on the side of hope, because God is giving hope. He's given hope to the hopeless. He's given freedom to the prisoner. And he's given us everything that we need. So if you have a need this morning, it would be God's pleasure for you to come forward and get things right before it's everlasting too late. So if you have a need this morning, now is the time while the song is of encouragement is sung. And remember, what you pray about is what you're all about.